Hi, and welcome to the Arana Hills Church of Christ podcast. We hope this message brings you closer to knowing God, finding freedom in Him, and understanding what He has in store for you and your community. To learn more about Arana Hills Church of Christ, head to aranahills.church. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good. I've had this, I thought about it, like 2020, I was like, this is a formation year, come on. We'll just take the shots. And then the next year came, and we're like, okay, step it up. And then it sort of continues. I don't know if you've been struggling with that, just this compounding feeling of loss, or the compounding feeling of drama on drama on drama. And I know some of you have, as you've shared your stories. But God doesn't change. And I was reminded this week of the parable of the weeds, as He says, look at them, the weeds are there, don't take them out, it's not your job. Just don't focus on them. Focus on the good work that I'm doing, the plants. And as you do that, the good seed will rise. The weeds will also grow. Let them grow. But at the right time, God will come and He'll remove them. There's some things that you're just not geared for to remove. You can't force it, you know. You can't just say a prayer or just do a few things. You have to surrender it into God and say, Lord, You just do it from here. And so I hope that you're encouraged this morning by what you're seeing. As Simon said, we've been busy with a continuous conversation. I think church series should always be like that. It should never just be a once-off thing. I think there's a continuation. So we follow the Christian calendar, and there's this space in between that's common time, and then you get to share the other stuff. But I think it's important for us to have some continuity. Certainly we need that in a world that's ever-changing, and so we strive to do that. We've been speaking about good soil and asking ourselves, Lord, what does that mean? What is the soil of my life? And we've been asking God to give people the courage to go down there, to do the inner work. And you're never going to stop with that, but the first step is usually the hardest, as you get used to not living surface-level living, but actually delving deep and letting God do the deep restorative work, because it's worth it. We then went into Lent. How fun was that? The whole long season of Lent, a lot of lamenting, a lot of mourning, it was very quiet in here at times, and it was deliberate. And obviously that then culminates with good seed, which is the whole Easter weekend experience. Who was here over Easter? Who came by? Is here allowed? All right. If you weren't here, good. It's still online. So on Easter, what we did is we had little pots here, and we filled it with soil, which we believed were good soil. And then we gave you some seeds, and we said, plant them and take it home, and over to you. And so people did that. Must say, not everyone watered their plants. So the question I have for you this morning, as we continue talking, as we talk about good rain this morning, how's your pot plant? How's it going down at your home? Maybe you put it somewhere in a corner you forgot. I know some of you have thousands of pots, but you're excluded from this guilt trip this morning. You're looking after a whole rainforest there, some of you. Not pointing fingers at all. But how's your pot plant? I have received, it's funny, no one sent me photos or videos of their plant just with soil in. They're doing terrible. No one's doing that. The only ones I got were ones where it's growing, and people are like, you know, they're bragging a little bit that they're actually looking after something and not killing it for once in their life. And Isaac's been shown, and I'll tell it tonight if he's here. I don't know if he's, yeah, he's here. Come on. Give Isaac a hand. His plant looks so healthy. Have you planted things in the past? No. You don't have to acknowledge it here publicly anyway. But there was a beautiful growth. You could see it just coming out and shooting. And I love it. And the key here, it's okay if I can share, Isaac, is it's more than just the plant. It's more than just a little pot that you got at church, you know. That it's deeply connected to your journey, your faith walk, or something special, a moment in your life. You said, okay, here, I've lamented like I've never lamented before. I've gone through Lent the first time in my life, and now I'm taking responsibility, and there's this divine transition that is happening and that has happened over your life. So because I was here last week with Luke, and what a great preacher is Luke Williams, isn't it? I just feel like, I'm like, teach me. Just can you teach me something? I want to sit at his feet. He's got such a gift. And and I'm going to copy him today. So he said, give you a question and then you can talk about it. What is the Holy Spirit doing? 2 minutes, just turn to the person next to you. What is the Holy Spirit doing? In this moment, overall, if you want to be more vague, you want to talk about your own life, what is the Holy Spirit doing? And we're going to ask for some examples of what you're talking about. So have fun. What is the Holy Spirit doing? All right, good. I think we can talk way more because God's busy. Yeah, God's busy, hopefully in your life, and you can see it and identify it. So who wants to go? I'll repeat it on the mic. Connor, I'm not surprised. Let's go. Yeah. Thanks, Connor. It's a fresh word for us this morning. Obviously, it came in a little bit late. It's fine. That is really good. God sent an email. Yes, from Rain. Anyone else? It is very cool. We spoke about it a bit earlier as well. So it's just an affirmation. I love it. Who's next? At the back. Karen. Okay. Very good. So we're trusting God, even though we see the weeds growing and the stuff that's in the way, we know He's busy in between that. And I love that anticipation of we'll see what He's done, the culmination. Anyone else? At the back, yeah. Yes. Full-time ministry. Yes. Very good. Any other mums? Maybe that resonates with you. As you're keeping everyone alive and off the streets. Very good. It's true. There's a profound truth in what she's sharing, as I think that's where we're heading this morning. And anyone else? Maybe last one. There at the back, Helen. Helen. So good. I love it. So God's doing things in our life, in us, and He's doing things through us. And that is, thank you for helping me. Exactly what we're talking about. We'll get to our word for today. But I need a helper to come and read some scripture. Again, that's something Luke does. So I'm just trying to follow in his footsteps. Tyler, can you come and help me this morning? She loves it so much. So you're reading out of John chapter 17, verse 20 to 25, for those who take notes.
I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them.
Thank you. It's the prayer that Jesus prays, and there's more to it. There's a whole part in front of it where he prays for the apostles, and then he prays for the believers, and then he calls them disciples at the end as well. It is a prayer of unity. Union, oneness. I believe that from the time when we fell in Adam and Eve, the continuous program, the series, the course, the plan has been for us to understand that we are not separated from God, but that we are one in Christ Jesus. In fact, we've always been one, and the challenge is that we've just believed the illusion of separation in our lives. That God would ever separate himself from us is just not true. But that we would see ourselves as separated is our problem. And so our job is, and I believe what the Holy Spirit continuously does is, the Holy Spirit brings union, brings together, brings oneness. And he tries to convince us of our oneness and our connection and our union with God. What sin does is it encroaches into our life, usually through pain. And so we experience some pain, relational pain, physical pain, emotional pain. It separates us from community and from an idea that we're connected to God. It then isolates us. So that's the place we find ourselves in deep depression, anxiety, lostness, brokenness. And then ultimately it alienates us. It puts us in such a state mentally and physically that we just don't want community and we don't want to be close to God really because we know he's going to change us and transform us. We don't want to be close to other people because we know that they're going to challenge us and they're going to love us uncomfortably so. It's like when you're not a hugger and someone just wants to hug you, that type of discomfort. And now you're sad because like social distancing is disappearing and all that stuff and the huggers are coming out. The huggers are coming out. And some of you are not, you're online because you don't want to be hugged. I get it, but God's coming for you. And so there's this anxiety and then people are alienated. And I often meet people in the outskirts of margins of society where our job is to center them, where they're difficult to be with. Because they don't want to be with anyone. It's like dehydration. You don't want to drink. Your throat closes up. You hate water. You're nauseous. But actually, it's the one thing that you really, really do need. So I believe our word for today, as we've been journeying through different words, is the word union, oneness and unity. And God does the work. The good news is that up until Easter story, and even up until last week where we heard about the ascension through when Luke shared, it's all the things of what God has done. And we spend a lot of time there, and it's good, and we should, and it lays the foundation. It is finished. We start at finish. We start at the end line. It's true, and it's good, and it's that which brings healing and restoration to our hearts. But it's not the full story. God does things in us, yes. He does things to us, yes. But he does things through us. Even when, especially when we're broken, especially when we're hurt. I love the picture of a mosaic, the tiles. They're all just broken little pieces, individually brilliant, not made to be alone, not made to be one color, not made to stand out amongst the rest, but blended into this brokenness that then gives glory to God through its what? Unity. Union. So it's union with God that then turns into union with man. Between us, amongst us. And that's not always good news to some. We like the fact that we are saved. We don't like the fact that we're going to be joined with some people that we don't like. Well, you will. They're there. Some of them are waiting for you. Just can't wait to show you. Hello, I'm here. Maybe it's that email that you got this morning. It's someone saying, I'm in eternity. We're going to be together forever. And I'm a hugger. I'm going to hug ya in heaven forever. Maybe that's not good news for you. So the key story out of Pentecost Sunday obviously revolves around Acts chapter 2. We won't read through the whole one. We'll touch on the first bit and the last bit. And I believe God will just give us some real practical, easy to remember things from this text. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like a sound of the blowing of a wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, not a normal day at all. It was that suddenly, the suddenly that I had the other day when I was in the gym pumping some weights after a church service, and Corinda phoned me and she said, get in your car, the town is flooding. I'm like, what? Everything, it's just a little rain, look at that. It's not, I can see outside, and the next minute the water was that high and I just got my car out of there because the water just came. Doesn't it feel like yesterday when there was a river flowing past this building? Just right here. If you had a little canoe, you could have done a bit of a trip. I know some people who had fun walks on the day, just exploring the beauty. Their house wasn't at risk at all. But that type of weather. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire land on each head. And then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Remember what we read last week about responsibility. There's this call on us to respond. The good news is we don't have to have the ability. God gives it to us. The ability, the enablement. This is what the Spirit did in them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. So the tongues that was being spoken were not prayer language, as we know, as spirit prayer, but it was specific languages. There was a reason for this type of filling. You see, there's a transitioning happening, where it's just me hearing God as I'm used to, as I'm accustomed to, because I'm a Jew and I'm the chosen, nation of Israel. It's just, you know, it's going to be us. It's a holy huddle. It's just familiarity. It's people I know. There's a transition happening. There's a transition happening from Easter to Pentecost. Because now suddenly, this good news is being mobilized to go to the other, those people on the other side, those who are different to me, those are different cultures. Those are different heritage. Those that make me uncomfortable because they eat that food, you know. I'm a butter chicken kind of guy. I don't like this vindaloo thing, you know. You have to start slow. Start with the butter chicken, then build your way up. Is that good advice? If If you've never had Indian, don't go for the vindaloo. Not a good idea. You'll be feeling it. And your family will be feeling it for days to come. You love toilet humor? It's great. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not easy to adapt to the other. It's not comfortable. You see, this comfort of the Holy Spirit, the comforter comes and it brings healing and restoration in us. And we think, oh Lord, I'm so blessed, too blessed to be stressed. I'm so anointed. I just feel the anointing dripping off me. You know, I'm like the blessed, the anointed of God. There's favor everywhere I go. And then I understand that there's a divine transition. There's a change, that this good news is not just for me. It's for everyone. And this is what happened when these languages flowed. I think people were offended. They thought, oh, well, what is this about? This is foreign. That's the idea, is that we'd be able to be mobilized across the cosmos, across every nook and cranny of this world. Now, these people were staying there. They heard it, and every language was spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these all speaking Galileans? Like, these people that are speaking, they shouldn't be speaking like this. It doesn't make sense. The logic is out the door. Then how is it that each of us hear them in our native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, often those two things happen at the same time. They asked one another, what does this mean? The beginning of Acts chapter 2 then goes through helping them understand, unpacking some of the prophetic language from David and the type of stories that they would recognize, and seeing that it's okay, all these things are happening. It's the same God that spoke to David. It's the same God of Abraham. It's the same God that we know all these things about. Like, relax. It's God we're talking about. We are stuck in our language. We are stuck, especially in the Western church, in the English speaking, we are stuck with our way of learning, our way of speaking. I'm amazed often as you study the original languages that it just gets better. It's just more. We have limited ourselves by our definitions of things. You see, often we worship God, we worship our definitions of God. We don't often worship the living God, we just worship the written word. We're stuck. Doesn't mean I love my Bible, but it points to Jesus. It shows me Jesus. It reveals Jesus. It's not Jesus. Jesus is living. We serve a living God. We don't believe in cessation. We believe that God is here in this place, and He lives in you, and He's busy. That's not radical, I think. I mean, in some ways it is. But it's not controversial. That's just what the early church believed themselves. It is why the message spread across the world. The effect then of all of this culminates in the last chapter, which we're going to focus on today. Is that okay? Still with it? All right. What happened when they were filled? What was the experience? What was town life like? When you would not be there, you heard they were filled, and now you're stepping into this community. What were they doing? Well, they devoted themselves. Can we say devoted themselves? Thank you to those three folks. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. So they're not drifting away from what has happened. They want to learn. They're engaging the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, come on, and to prayer. Who lives a good patisserie? Like when you walk past it's more sugar than anything else, but it invites you, isn't it? Like a freshly baked loaf. I made the mistake the other day on Easter. Corinna asked me to go and buy some buns. And so I thought, I'm a good bun buyer. I'll go buy some buns. But I just went to the regular shop and I just bought the buns next to the bread. Because you're like, there's the loaf of bread, there's the buns. But it wasn't freshly baked buns. Me and Alpha went. I was so tired. So we went home, and she's like, and there was a big conversation. Much bigger than I anticipated. We just did Easter. We gave pot plants to everyone. I thought, this is like, is this what we're going to talk about? But she was right. I mean, she's not often right, but she was right. And so I drove back. Simon, I got the right buns. Those softer buns. And the other buns, they lasted longer, and they were so good. They were much better. than those cheap buns that'll last for 3 weeks. I've digressed. We'll get back to the bread soon. They break bread. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. It's always the outflow of the experience of unity. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Last bit of scripture this morning. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Anyone. Not just their group. Anyone who had need. And anyone means anyone in the Greek. Anyway. Anyone. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, consistency, community. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising the God and enjoying the favor of all the people, of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Safe to say that this was a radical group of people. They were all in. They devoted themselves. To what did they devote themselves? What was the ingredients? What were the things that they were experiencing? And I believe God has done and is continuing to do these things in our lives as He continues to reinforce the things that He's done, and He calls us to move from comfort to discomfort to the things that He wants to do and is doing through our lives. God is doing something through your life. You're not a tool. We've said this. You feel like a tool sometimes. You look at other people and you're like, they're a tool. He's a hammer. He's a spanner. But you're an instrument. God doesn't want to use you. He wants to live through you. You see the difference between a tool and an instrument? Some of us need to be tuned a bit, but. So I was thinking about any movie analogies I could use. Again, it's been used before. And I thought, what would be good when I think about rain? And I thought about this movie I recently saw like heaps of times, but recently I watched it again. Cloudy with the Chance of what? Meatballs. Who's having some meatballs for lunch? No? Okay. If you do, let me know. And I thought about this. How good would it be if it rained wine? You don't have to confess, but something happened in you right there. I know who you are. You're like, where's the glass at? Get a bucket. What's the biggest? Seal the ute. Let's just catch all the stuff we can get. No? Okay, it's fine. You don't need to like wine. But I think of wine, and then I think of the wine of the new covenant. Aren't we going to have communion a little bit later? Yes. I mean, it's unfermented. Grape is fine. Still good. And then I thought, what if it rained bread? Someone earlier said, well, we hope it's not like an old sourdough loaf, like falling down. Knocking us out. Bread makes me think of something that's happened in the Bible a couple of times. And then, of course, you just have to have coffee in the sermon, otherwise not a sermon. And then what if it rains coffee? You know, like, but not like International Blend. I had that in the week. It was terrible. I don't think that's the Lord. Can we just dispose? I mean, bless the company who made it, but that's not... It's not right. I mean, if you want to have something, have like the tea bag that's coffee, you know, that Robert Tim stuff. Don't have International, don't have that. This movie is tremendous. That's Flint Lockwood. I don't know what the town is. What's the town that he's in? Anyone know? Okay, well, you don't know your movies. So come and visit me, watch it. Flint Lockwood creates this machine that just miraculously turns this town that is only eats sardines into a place where everything just rains down. They look for the cloud, and in the cloud there's this incredible machine that just continues to give to the people, and it gives them what they want. They just press, they just like, and he types in different things, like today it'll be burgers. For me it'll be burgers every day, like burgers for breakfast, burgers for lunch, can you see it, burgers for dinner. Love burgers, how good are burgers? Hey? Yeah, I mean lemon meringue tart or something like that, or like... brownies or something, but it was just tapping in. And then eventually this whole thing turns against them and it's chaos. I love the next photo where they're just there, the kids drinking the cheese. Can you see that? I think it's cheese. Maybe it's custard. Let's vote. No, come, Holy Spirit. They devoted themselves. Firstly, it is important that we have communion. It is our activity of union. It is when things come together. It is community. It's co. We're invited into this unity meal. We celebrate how comfortable we can be with God. We can. We can really be comfortable with Him. It's that feeling you have when you run to your father and you just jump. You don't even have to think if they're going to catch you. You just know because they've caught you every time. And you just jump into their arms and you wrestle them and you sit on their lap and there's joy coming out of you. Maybe you didn't have that as a child, but in God there's this comfort that you have in the closeness. We know that it's very difficult to be close to an angry father. It's very difficult to be close to an angry God. And so we know through the scriptures, through God revealing Himself through Jesus, that God's not angry. He's really not. He's not angry at you. He's angry at injustice. And then He looks at you. He's like, let's go. Let's do something about that. But He's not angry at you. He's never been angry at you. God loves you. God cares for you. God's character is revealed through Jesus, which is that of a loving Father. Love itself made flesh. This is what the disciples devoted themselves to getting to know this God of unity, this oneness, the at-one-ment that they experience with God. It is the stories of the cross, the death, and the resurrection, and the ascension, the stuff that God has done. And our task is to do it and continue to marinate in that truth. Who loves a good steak that's been marinated? What's the difference between like a minute steak that you didn't marinate and a good solid Wagyu thing that you just left in the wine to suck it up and then you make it? Oh, come on. Bring on lunch. We won't be long. All right. But it doesn't stop there. It's not only about forgiveness. You see, I think the church gets stuck after Easter. And we get stuck there because we allow ourselves to get stuck there because it's we're used to it. We'll just go through another cycle, the same group of people. We later become so self-centered that it bothers us when someone sits on our chair at church or comes up in front of us to get coffee when they're a visitor here. How dare they? I've been here for, you know how long I've been here? Not all of us, but some of us. We get stuck because actually we are deeply challenged by the fact that God could even move through us. That's really at the heart of it. That's really at the heart of it. It's not so much about other people. It's just the fact that God's inviting me in to partake. And so we need to go through this divine transition. You see, the Israelites and the older folks were chasing the clouds. Lord, where are you going to provide for now? It was all about what God can give to you. And what you can get from God rather than God living through you. And I believe that this divine transition is moving from a cloud to a fountain. And again, there'll be many words and plays and so forth that you can do today that'll confuse you. But you need to transition from looking towards the source and discovering the source within you. It is a difference between a church being a location, a place, a gathering, an event, and a movement. It is the difference between being focused on what we are doing here rather than on what God is doing out there through us. That is why Carl Marin are not just going to Perth, they're being sent there. That is why when they go there, they're on mission. They're on to discover what God is already doing in that place. They're not going to retire because we don't retire. We're going to work in heaven, just a news flash anyway. In all eternity, we're going to do God's work and going to continue worshiping, giving Him glory through our lives. But it's about moving from heaven to earth to moving heaven on earth. From union with God to union with man. We see this being played out as people devote themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship. The second element, and this is where it turns from comfortable to uncomfortable, we are called to community. Now, when you ask anyone, do you want to be part of a community? Everyone's like, yeah, sign me up. Do you want to serve in the community? Not yet. I'm just going to wait a little bit. Do you want to be served by the community? Definitely not. If you've ever found yourself in a place where you're the one needing help, where you're the one needing uncomfortable levels of care, you know what I'm talking about. When you're the one that you just can't get over yourself, your ego's in the way and you need to ask for help and you're not doing it. I've been there in the last couple of months. I've definitely been there where it's been so difficult. Someone phoned me in the week and they're like, a friend that doesn't know what's happening in my life. And he said, AJ, how's it going? I'm just like, man, I'm just so tired talking about myself. He's like, oh, sorry I phoned. I said, no. Actually, people have been caring for me and it's really hard for me because I have to tell them what I need. And I have to tell them what you know. It's really humbling to be in a place where you need care. It's uncomfortable. I was sick for a little bit and went to hospital and was in bed for 6 days. And this is just now, a while back. And then my team and key people in the church felt to be involved. And that's fine, like I'm not important. And they started doing things. How dare they? And they brought food to my house. Most days we had meals. I just want to say, you guys love pasta, like a lot. And like, you love carb dishes in general. So good. Thank you so much. And it was so good. Anyway, I'm going to be naughty. But we had a little list where we would be like, that was amazing, number one. And then it was a tight race. There was someone that just fluctuated. They did so well, their meal was like one and two. We disagreed as well about, anyway. So no. But it's uncomfortable. One night I was on my bed, I was like, you know, in that place, you're like, am I sleeping? Am I on pain medication? Am I alive? Like, I was somewhere there. I'm like sweating and stuff. And I look next to me and Sam Green is in my room. And I'm like, Jesus, Lord, am I going? Was I hallucinating? I'm like, Corinda, that pain medication you gave me, don't give me your pain medication. I just want the man medication. Give me the light stuff, you know? And it was really him. I was so uncomfortable. I mean, I had laundry there. It was like, you know, I had underwear there in the room, on the floor. I was sick, okay. And there were tissues. And I was like, what are you doing? And he just said, I'm just here with you. I just want to be here. He would come in and bring the meals that you guys do, and he wouldn't just leave it at the front door, which all like non-committal Christians do. Like, he would come into the house, he'd put it in the oven, and then he'd wait for it. It's not ready yet. And then he'd give it to us, and it blessed me so much. It was so uncomfortable. You see, we want community until it comes. Until it's forced on us. Because we're not comfortable really with that. And there's a reason for that. We're called to marinate, but we're also called to mingle. We're called to mingle. It's why church is here. It's why online is good, but it's not everything. You need people. Can you just say it internally with me? I need people. I need you guys. Like, I would come here when I don't have to. Like, I would work at the Macca's if I could just come here. You need, nothing wrong with working at Macca's, by the way. And they wouldn't allow it because I'd take their profit, like, all day. But you, can you just get over yourself? You need people. They don't just break bread in their public gatherings. They broke bread. You see bread raining? They broke bread in each other's homes. When was the last time you invited people to your home? I haven't for quite some time. It was too small. It was like a house for ants, but we lived in, it's a bit better. But when was the last time you went to someone's house? I know it's like really uncomfortable. It's radical. But I think that's the type of community we're part of. When it's not just about hoarding the produce that I make into my own garden, but giving it out to my neighborhood like some great Jesus followers in our community are launching today. Called to commune. And then the last one, called to commission. They sold everything, most of what they had, to give away to those in need. Now, this is usually where the cultural like context people come in. They're like, yes, we just have to read that in context, you know, because it was like that time, it's thousands of years ago, you know, and they were living in village life and things are way more complex today. It's just way more complex today. The reality is when the Spirit lives in you, it moves you from comfortable closeness to uncomfortable community to uncomfortable compassion. That's the whole thing. And that's why it's important for people to understand when they come into this Christ community, it is so comfortable, but at the same time, it's so deeply uncomfortable because suddenly you realize that this whole thing is not just about you. And it's the reason that that wall has a map on. And before we take it off, we're not going to easily take it off because I'm going to fight for it to be there, because it stretches our imagination to the fact that what we are doing here has something to do with every single house, every single crisis, every single child who does not have a home to stay in, who is couch surfing in our neighborhood, who is addicted to drugs and 13 years old, every single mother who cannot even put fuel in her car, every single parent there who feels that they're absolutely useless and that they wouldn't be missed and that they might as well disappear, every single place there, this good news we have is for them. And every language you receive today when you say, Lord, baptize me with your Spirit, baptize me with your tongue, it's not a language, it's a gifting, and it sits in you. And when you go and speak to them, you'll be able to speak their language. So if you've gone through a crisis this year, if it's been a crap, I want to use another word here for you, congratulations, you've just received a new tongue that can connect to people, can you feel it? That can connect to people in our world in new and profound ways. Thank you for my suffering, Father, because now I can identify with people whom I couldn't have identified before. It doesn't mean God doesn't care for your heart. Listen to this. The comfortable closeness remains in me. It is what I move with because God's in me. But externally, it takes a while for me to get comfortable with the uncomfortable situations around us. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago about a lady that contacted us that needed a bit of help. So we got involved and so forth, and Tyler spoke to you on the phone, and we got involved and we had to help her with some things, and some of you were incredibly gracious and giving towards her, and they could help her with significant things. Well, she's now the number one caller on my phone. She phones me a lot, and bless her, and I love her, and I hope she's watching. It'll be a journey for her to watch. But can I say, when you really get involved in someone's life, it's uncomfortable. Because the phone doesn't ring 9:30 a.m. in the morning when you're ready and you had your first coffee and things. It happens at 11 p.m. at night. It happens in the middle of the night. It happens any time that they need you. And I just say, helping one person takes a village. We are called to uncomfortable compassion, and that is justice in our world. Moving from mercy, what God has done for us, to justice, what God does through us. Moving from comfortable closeness to uncomfortable community to uncomfortable commission. Moving from marinating in the goodness of God, we can continue doing that, it's fine, to mingling other people, to actually moving into our world. And moving just starts with one step. It just starts with one thing. It just starts with responding to the lady on Facebook like Luke did last week. It just starts with you starting. See, being on mission just starts being on. Just saying, Lord, I'm open. I'm open to you to move through my life. And the most easiest way to remember this morning is just with wine, bread, and coffee. Wine, bread, and coffee. That's how I'm going to remember it. So when we start a Pentecost discussion and we're seeking the reign of God, you will be drenched. It's like dancing in the rain. Those first couple of moments are like, take a photo. It's so fun. Take a photo. Someone take a photo. Can someone just take a photo of me dancing? Have you seen me dancing in the rain? No. Just dancing in the rain, and then it starts getting cold, and you're uncomfortable, and you're chafing. I'm like, Mom, get the towel. What, you didn't bring a towel out? No, I never bring a towel out. Just bring a towel. My daughter's friend just won a lot of money this weekend. They're already stinking rich, but now they're extra rich. He just ran outside and he jumped in the pool. It's that type of experience. It's Pentecost. Let's go. Fill me. And then God gives you his heart, or a little bit of it. And he gives you other people. Blah. Who wants that? I'm done for this morning, but I want to pray for you to receive that this morning. Let's open our hands. After the prayer, we'll have communion, and we'll just ask God to transition us into community and into commission. Father, we just honor you. We thank you for the time that people have allocated this morning to listen to what you're saying, more than me at all, but we thank you for everything you've done for us. Oh Lord, we are the recipients. We are really only recipients. We just open our hands and we receive from everything as a gift. Even if our year's been tough, Lord, we have, most of us, the majority of us have a roof over our head. We have food to eat. We have clothes to wear. We often have too many things. From time to time, we have money in the bank. We have a bank account. We are actually so blessed. And we're so blessed by your presence, Lord. And thank you for filling us and continuing to fill us every day. But I just sense that there is more than just gifts being poured out for me, rather than gifts being poured out to me, rather than, Father, I think this is what you're doing through us, and that you would give gifts to us, through us, Lord, to our world. That we are today, we are part of community. It's your unity, Lord, not just God and us, Lord, that you are doing, you've done that, but God, that you would connect us to one another. John 17. And then even more than that, that we not just connect to one another through community, but that we are commissioned. Maybe for you, first time in your life, you just felt the license. You just felt that there was actually permission given this morning to just be yourself fully in the world. And thank you, Father, we can do that with all these other churches. Lord, we look at maps in different ways now because there's something in your spirit that calls us to move, to reach. So we receive this communion because you told us to remember what you've done. But you've also given us a meal, meaning this stuff is internalized, and then that creates all these reactions in us as our body takes in the nourishment of that which we've just ate and drank of. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning that through this communion, you reign on us, but you also reign in us, and you reign through us. And Father, thank you. Thank you for taking the reins. We play with that word a little bit. Thank you, Lord, that you reign on us, that you reign in us, and that you reign through us. And Lord, thank you that this morning we can take this and there's something, even just one little cell that's activated within us that can help us to share ourselves with the world. It starts with a step. It starts with an acknowledgement that, Lord, we are the missionaries in our home. That, Lord, when I do fold the laundry, I'm doing it for the Lord, and I'm doing it for these little human beings that are part of the network of God to reach those who are not reached yet. I am discipling. I am encouraging. I am evoking gifts in my world. That, thank you, Lord, the responsibility is not just for our city, and we know that it will be changed through many churches who come together, but it is through me being a good parent, being a good spouse, being a good steward of my gifts. Come on, is God speaking to you this morning? Is he whispering in your ear? Is he speaking from within you? God's not outside of you. God is within you. Is God saying something to you this morning that is different and unique? Are you getting an email? And maybe it would just be that, hello, God is in the room. Are you this morning feeling God within you? I want to ask you if that's you. I want to ask you to take this communion and trust God for something small that he's laid on your heart. And I want you to trust him with anticipation. Father, we thank you that this stuff will have fruit, that this will move on, that this thing will not just stop with me. Because sometimes, you see, you can actually be the one holding back the work that God wants to do through you. And I get it. because it's hard and it's uncomfortable. I also know that the more you marinate in the goodness of God, the more you can mingle and the more you can move. So if you don't feel like moving or mingling this morning, maybe you can just go back and marinate when we have this communion. And I believe God is doing something in this place. Let's have communion in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have a moment to worship God and so forth. But we thought it would be apt to, this morning, we'll just weave in a little bit of personal news with our sermon. Please don't let this distract in any way from what God is saying in you and through you. I don't believe it will at all. I think it's really good news. But we thought we'd share a bit and just to share with you some family news this morning. Is that all right? I know we're a bit over time. The coffee's brewing for you to be on mission. It's going to go soon, but let's just share a little bit. We can go a little bit down on the... I thought about having a smoke machine for an announcement. How good would that be? One day, when I arrive. But just a bit of family news. We've been discerning for quite some time just about, you know, what does God want? What is the next step in our journey? It's as I said earlier, it's been such a tremendous experience. Really, when we came to this church 3.5 years ago, I thought these people are a bit strange. Like it feels like they really care. Anyway, only to discover that you do. And not all of you, some have a way to go, but most of you really care. And you can't like everybody, right? That's just how life is. Except if you're a pastor, you have to like everybody. Anyway, so we've been asking that question. So two parts of it today. You don't have to remember it. It's just me sharing. The first one is that we had this conviction last year when we were sharing the present in place, the power of place. That whole sermon series was quite profound. We had my friend Daniel Groth, who wrote this book, and we had so many people share and shared our missional framework and stuff that God was saying, AJ, it's really important that you plant yourself. 4 years here, 8 years there, 4 years there, 3 years there. It's like, it's really important that you plant yourself. Apart from being a good parent, because your kids are going to high school next year and primary school next year and the other one's right in the middle. It's really important to plant, to be present in place. And so that's the first thing, is that we have a conviction that we are in this church. We're part of it, whether you like us or not. I'm going to continue to be annoying and stuff, and myself and so forth. Continue to share as in when they let me. Continue to serve. I served in kids' church 2 weeks ago. It was fire. It was so good. We made little hangers with names on. But they call it what did they call it? It was some strange word. Anyway. It was so good to serve in kids' church. You have to do it. Your life will never be the same. And so we'll continue to serve. But I've been as an interim team leader here for the last year and a half. It's really been, it was very difficult leading up to that. It was very difficult going through that. But it was so deeply transformational. The level of care that I've experienced in this church has been, no one's paying me to say this, been tremendous. And the quality of people, I've bragged about Arana for quite some time, is next level. I'm telling you, the leadership, which is the board and the elders and the staff, they're just so talented and good. And they have moved with incredible integrity. Like, you do not know the stuff they had to deal with and how with straight backs and believing in God just went through. And they've done, I think they gave God glory through that whole process. So we've been searching for a senior pastor and an associate. The stuff went out and people have been applying, and the process is going with Simon and Rachel leading up those two crews. We've had some good applicants, and I believe the journey is going on. But just first thing, we're not going anywhere. This is our church, it's our family. The second part then of just the little announcement is that two years ago, a job came across our path. To be honest, it was what I was already doing. It was serving the wider community, bringing people together in unity. And that I had said no, and it was a really good reason for that. And we went through the journey, but it has just come by again. So I was invited to apply. I applied for the job. After talking to everybody, I had a list of 10 people and through our board and our elders. And I just made it through the application process. And I squeezed through the exit, and they offered me the role. And so we discerned a bit and we said we'll take it. So the role is a rep role, regional engagement partner. It looks at all the churches, all the aged care, foster care, kingship care, child, youth and family departments through Churches of Christ from here up until Gympie, but the majority of the activity sits in the north side, which is our region, which overlooks Arana and Zilmia, our work we're doing there, which overlooks small congregations that are really struggling in our region. And so that's the job. And about 7 to 8 weeks, I'll transition to that role, which means I have a little car that I'm going to drive around in. I'm going to be based here a lot. And I'll join the team meetings until they chase me away or ask me not to come. So that's just a bit of news we wanted to share with you this morning. I think it's good. I think God's enlarging our tent pegs. This is my opinion. Leanne actually shared a story. You see, with her pot plants, I think she had a same little pot plant we had. And it came to a place where it grew so well, she needed to get a bigger pot. So she got a bigger pot and she planted it over, and now it's thriving. It's not too big, because then it'll die. It's just a little bit bigger. And I actually, personally, I think that's what God's doing in our church. But we'll see. We're all part of that, leading that process going forward. So that's all I wanted to share with you this morning. Is that all right? Yeah? Thanks, Simon.
Miss AJ. You need to know that the leadership have been journeying with AJ on this process for months. And it's where the Lord is leading him. And the exciting part, he's leading him to be with the family, be planted here. But that'll be a transition, and is a transition. The elders and CLC are in the process of looking at what the leadership will look like post AJ's interim period. But I thought it'd be really good for us, the leadership thought it'd be really good to pray for AJ, but also I can see a few kids over there as well, and Corinda. So if you guys are happy, Alpha's there as well. Come on, Alpha, you better come up too. How about, we've just heard about communion. We're going to get them to stand down here. I'm going to pray, but if you want to come and gather around, because we're a community around this family, and they're, as we heard, going through quite a bit of stuff. Come on down the bottom, AJ. They're going through quite a bit of personal stuff with AJ's mum, and then, of course, with Grandma and Grandpa moving over to Perth. That's going to be a transition for the family. I think it's important. So if you want to gather around, a few people can come up and just envelop this family as we pray for them this morning and what God is saying to them and how he's leading them and taking them forward through this stage. So, yes, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are a community in yourself. You are in relationship, and you call us, you create us for relationship. And as we communally gather around AJ, Corinda, Carolyn, Carla Gray, Sound Little Alpha, at this time of transition for them on so many levels, with family changes and now a job change with AJ moving into this other position. We just, Father, want to gather around and just envelop them with your love, with your care, with your community, just to hold them. We just pray, Father, that you flow into their family in a new and a special way, into their relationships, into their circumstances, into their situation and into their future. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are holding them, have always held them. And in the changes that are coming, even this coming week with Mum and Dad heading over to Perth and what that'll mean for them, we just pray, Lord, they're going to know your grace, holding and really covering them moving forward. I just pray, Father, for each of them now to just know your Spirit, not just above them, but in them and through them, drawing them closer to you, but holding them in your care. And I really pray a blessing, particularly on AJ, as he steps into this role for Churches of Christ. It's a role that really is his fit, of mission, of community, of outreach, but also of care for people. That's his heart. And Lord, we just as a church want to just bless him and set him free into that role as he moves out now. So Father, just we speak your blessing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit over this family and over where you are leading them now. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you for sharing, AJ.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were encouraged by the message and would like to hear more sermons like this, make sure you hit subscribe. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. To experience other messages, videos, and live services, head to aranahills.church and navigate to the Resources tab. Thanks for listening.